webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Salamat, Robert Moore, and greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's Hump Day, Wednesday, October 26, 2011. The only last Wednesday of October 2011 in the history of humanity. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, on this foray into all things gospel. Glad to have you along for the ride. Glenn Klein online in the Bay of the Holy Spirit studio. Sean O'Halloran at the helm, spinning the dials, taking the calls this evening at 1-800-436-3260. 800-436-3260 is the toll-free number in Canada and the United States. We encourage you to call early and often. If you're listening outside the U.S. of A and Canada, the number outside North America to call in live is 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. The time is fleeing. It's incredible. It's for all practical purposes, November already. And 1 week from Friday, we will be having the second Gospel Revolution Summit right here in Tampa. And a man that is going to be flying over the Gulf of Mexico for it is online with us right now. The president, the founder, the grand poobah, the false Christ, the unteacher, the teacup poodle, if you will, of the Gospel Revolution. Please welcome online Mr. the Most Holy Reverend Michael Williams. Michael!
That is the Most High Holy Reverend. You never get that part right.
Damn it. You are so...
I know.
You are so correct, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you tonight, Glenn?
Brah, if I was any better, as George Howe would say, I'd be twins.
Well, instead of being twins, George is like half of himself now.
So. George has lost, I believe at last count, 110 pounds. So,
Jesus.
As he tells people, he says, I've lost a small woman.
Or a good-sized twink.
Point well taken, Michael. No doubt. Well, yeah, George and Bonnie have been on a what they're calling the Gospel Revolution exercise and diet plan. And they're transforming themselves right before our eyes. And as George has said, Michael, the success in exercise and dieting is not feeling bad about being fat, bad about yourself, just wanting to make an adjustment.
You know, it is just so amazing when you remove guilt and judgment and self-loathing and all of those esteem issues, and you can't remove it. This is the thing. You can't remove them yourself. The gospel removes them. Truth removes from you these negative elements. And then, just like what these guys are experiencing, they don't have a point to where that they're going to be even of expectation. This is just day at a time. And they're doing what they're doing right now. And look at the amazing feats that they have pulled off here together. And in that atmosphere of freedom, whatever you choose to accomplish, if it's within your realm of talents and abilities, I'm not telling you. Believe me, I could soak myself in the gospel for the next 100 years, and I'll never be a singer. So no matter how hard I try. But I'm telling you, things that you desire for yourself in your life, they're not unattainable goals anymore.
I do have to correct you. You are a singer. We've heard you sing on this program. You just never will be a good singer. That's what you were trying to say.
I was trying so hard, but I didn't accomplish it. But with your help, I did.
There's so much guilt that is used in the diet industry and the exercise industry, and people absolutely have their image affected, their self-esteem affected by society's view of how a person is supposed to look. Now, listen, I mean, obviously it's healthier to be fit. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And it's good to look good and to feel good about yourself. But, Michael, if people would just stop finding their sense of well-being, it's very interesting. We try to find our sense of well-being in what we do or don't do.
Yeah.
Instead of who we are or who we be. We're human beings, folks. We're not human doings.
Yeah. And the issue is not even, overweight or fit or slim. All of those are variables for everyone. Height is not a variable. Color of your eyes, you can change that if you like. But all of these things can be variables. But the issue is that you are comfortable with yourself. I remember talking to a fellow up in Canada, and he's an extreme fitness nut, and I mean that very respectfully. I'm not trying to say anything negative about fitness nuts. We all need some. But he was trying to make the statement that anybody who was overweight had low self-esteem. And that they didn't have any confidence in their life. And I just almost stood up out of my chair when he said that. And I just told him, I said, that's just wrong. There are people who are very comfortable with themselves in the weight that they are, whether it's overweight or not.
Apparently he never met Governor Chris Christie of the great state of New Jersey.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he was trying to say that people who are overweight don't accomplish things and all of this. The thing of it is we have to respect about each other. Different things are important to different people. And I admit that the things that are near and dear to me, it is hard for me to conceive that that is not the same thing with everybody. It's just like when somebody has a certain sex drive, they think everybody has that sex drive and everybody's this way. But there's and I know we've talked about this before, Glenn, and I've repeated this many, many times. There's no such thing as everybody, anything. There is an exception to those rules every time, and thank God there are. It keeps us in a much better frame of mind to be inclusive, let our hearts be inclusive, which that's what a heart that is established in truth of oneness is. It wants to embrace everybody and everything, but we set up these little judgments, and it's not fair to ourselves even to have to put ourselves in those situations.
Absolutely correct. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. That's Mike Williams. This is the Gospel Revolution, folks, and we have a strong desire, speaking of the discipline of exercise, we have a strong desire to be disciplined to keeping this webcast to 1 hour or thereabouts. And so we've requested that folks call in early and often to get us off to the right foot. We've got a lot to talk about in those 60 minutes, so stay logged on. And both lines are taken right now. And we are so privileged to have online as our leadoff hitter tonight. And by the way, speaking of things that certain people are interested in and other people are not, there's no World Series tonight. Rain in St. Louis, as Michael, your Texas Rangers are just one game away from winning the World Series, which is...
I have some Texas Rangers.
Yeah, you have Texas... You've got some Texas Rangers, my brother, from another mother. Yeah, and...
I know.
See, it's unbelievable to me that nobody, or that somebody couldn't care about baseball, but... We're in a rain delay situation or a rain out for tonight, so we may have some more listeners listening live because there are people actually that do enjoy the baseball, especially Carla's mommy and who is lives in Dallas, and now I'm pulling for the Texas Rangers. Mommy's pulling for the Texas Rangers. I'm pulling for the Texas Rangers, of course. But our leadoff hitter tonight comes to us from beautiful Stafford, Virginia. Please welcome our dear brother online. Germa Colston is with us. Germa!
Good evening. Holiness, Glenn, Mike.
Hey, you holy,
hey, Germa.
You holy and righteous, beautiful human, you.
You holy human, you.
Yes, you. Well, you all are righteous and holy as well.
Oh, thank you, Germa. And you know what? And Germa has in past chronicled his diet and exercise regimen, mostly diet regimen, on the Facebook. And I haven't seen many posts, you know, like how many McDonald's French fries you ate this week or something like that. But always enjoyed your freedom to share with the entire planet what you were eating that day.
Yeah.
Germa's an open book.
Yeah, I pretty much am.
Which we appreciate about you. So are you tempted to make the drive down from Virginia to Tampa for next week for the summit?
I'm probably not going to be able to make it, unfortunately.
But I asked if you were tempted, Germa. Were you tempted to do it?
Tempted?
Yes.
Yeah. Tempted, yeah.
All right, well, that's a good temptation.
We just want to make sure we have the temptation train running.
Definitely. Oh,
absolutely.
So what do you got on your heart and mind this evening, my brother?
I go over the last week or so, I was watching some stuff on YouTube about this this guy named Bill Weiss. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of him.
Heard the name is all.
Yeah, he wrote a book titled 23 Minutes in Hell. And so basically he gives his old testimony about how he saw hell for 23 minutes and all. And I kind of wanted to get your all's take on, you know, like why certain people have those kind of visions, assuming that they're not making it up.
It's a great question. Hey, Germa, I'm gonna open up that line. We're gonna answer the question over the computer, okay?
All right.
And we'll discuss. Or do you want to hang on for a minute?
Sure.
Okay, because you might have. All right, Mikey, what happens? Because we've had a lot of people, including our dear friend Robert Slaridan, make a fortune on telling people about their stories of visiting heaven. This guy, most of the time it's heaven, but this guy, you know, wrote a book on his visitation or his vision. Not 22 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, not 24 minutes, but 23 minutes in hell. What's up with that?
Well, first off, I don't know who was keeping the timer to see how long he was there, but other than that, it's a psychological, diagnosable psychological state of being, of having these, if it's heaven, it's visions of grandeur, and if it's hell, you know, it's just the opposite end of that, of course. But, when your mind is taught these things and you actually embrace them, the mind can do incredible things with things that it is exposed to. The number of testimonies that I remember, people would report, you know, that somebody got healed in a service that night, and everyone in the building would attest to this absolute fact that they saw this happen, and I was there, and I know it didn't happen. But you know what? I was saying it happened too. These things can definitely happen, whether they're vivid dreams or not. And I really like the way you posed your question, Germa, assuming that they're not just out and out lying. But we can't rule that out. The possibility of somebody just making something up. Now, for most of us, that's just outside of the spectrum of even doable for us to just fabricate something and then repeat it. But I remember one very elderly man. He claimed to have been in the Amazon, and I'm telling you, this guy was in his 80s. And boy, his name is escaping me at the moment, but it may pop back into my head while I'm talking about him. And he had this elaborate story of being in the Amazon, and he also had gone to heaven for a period of time, but he also had this thick head of white hair, and he said he was completely bald, lost all of his hair, until the Amazon tribe packed his head in mud, made him stay in it for I don't remember how many days, and then they broke it off, and he had a full head of hair. I remember John Osteen, of course, being the missionary buddy that he was to all missionaries. He checked with everyone up and down the Amazon, and nobody ever heard of this gentleman. In fact, his name was Percy Collet. And Percy, I remember he really got Norval bad. He checked into the hotel to be the guest speaker there that week, and he ran up $1,000 phone bill, and Norval was really torqued. You don't run up $1,000 phone bills on Norval, and they couldn't get the guy to pay it. So, are people.
What I was going to say, I think that, you know, some people have had these visions of hell and said they've never had any exposure to teachings on hell. But somewhere along the line, they learned that. Because it is so ingrained in our culture. Whenever somebody, they're talking about Muammar Gaddafi now being down there with Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein, and there was a nice cartoon that was referring to the Occupy Wall Street event that's happening not only in New York, but now all over the world. It's at Occupy Hell, and we posted that on the Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution Facebook. You're going to be influenced by this. There is nothing in the Bible, folks. There is nothing in the Bible that describes a place of everlasting torment and torture and burning in the Scriptures or in the New Testament writings. This has all been concocted by ancient Christianity, influenced by Dante's Inferno. And it is simply a tradition.
Yeah, very much is.
So I guess the bottom line, Germ, is we don't know what it is, but it's just like any other vision or any other quote-unquote out-of-body type of experience. There's another realm out there, and even if it's not involving quote-unquote spirits, and I know you're into ghosts and into ghost hunting and all that stuff, even if it's not involved in any what we would call spiritual, the spirit realm, as Michael said, the brain is so capable of concocting the human ability to imagine and the way the brain works is just incredible. And we're going to be talking about that in a lot of future webcasts about the impact of the gospel on the human brain. And what that's all about. In fact, posted today on the e-newsletter was a great cartoon of the legalistic brain. And if you want to see that, you can go the Gospel Revolution Facebook as well. But, Gerb, we got to move on. We hope that helped.
Okay, thank you.
Good night, buddy.
Thanks, Germa.
There goes Germa Colston.
You know, Glenn, one thing I want to point out, since we just had that conversation, and the issue of hell, one of the things that really put such a resolve to this for me is, of course, our constant emphasis on what the Scriptures are, being the Law, the Psalms, and the Prophets. And you are correct. It was totally the hell as far as a place to go after life was completely concocted through the translations of the New Testament and maybe even in the writings of the New Testament. But we know that the truth of the gospel is based in the Scriptures, and there's not one single line anywhere that talks about a place of torment after death in the Scriptures. It isn't there. It was, and if it wasn't in the Scriptures, it ain't. That's just all there is to it. If there was no hell in the Scriptures, there's no hell in the New Testament.
Yeah.
And of course, we've gone over these things a lot, but I wanted to make that point. Just as we wrapped up that conversation.
No, I think it's really important because everything that we base our understanding of God's view and opinion of the human race is based in what Yeshua said were the Holy Scriptures. It's one of the only things, folks, that the disciples agreed upon was what the Scriptures were and what they are. we're going to talk about this. I mean, it's very important to understand that Yeshua, that Jesus defined the scriptures very specifically. He said that they were the law, the Torah, the five books of Moses, the Psalms, that book of Psalms, basically a book of prayer and praise by David, and the prophets. And he was very specific, Yeshua was. He said, all of that is about me. And as I was working on the next chapter of Mike's book, One, The Gospel According to Mike, A Christianity-Free Gospel, this is the very topic that was dealt with in this last chapter. The understanding that the scriptures are not about you and me. When you hear a pastor stand up on a Sunday morning and take one verse out of the so-called Old Testament, I say so-called because the scriptures are not the Old Testament. The Old Testament, folks, was the blood of bulls and goats, the animal sacrificial system that was set up first in the wilderness and then in Jerusalem in the temple. That was a very specific religious system. That was the old. The New Testament is not the compilations of writings that we call the New Testament. The New Testament is the blood of the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Anointed One. This is very good news and important for you to understand. But Yeshua said the scriptures were about him. They're not about you. When a pastor takes one verse out of the scriptures and then makes an entire sermon condemning the United States or the Roman Catholic Church or Mormonism or homosexuality or whatever, they are in an absolute fallacy. They are in fantasy land. It is a complete affront to Christ and the work of the cross to take one verse that was about Yeshua and to apply it to your life. You're not in the script. Michael, we're not in the scriptures.
No, we're not. We are benefactors of the completion and fulfillment of the scriptures, but we're not in it. The only way you can be a benefactor is to not be a part of the of what has been bequeathed to you.
Right. You can't be part of the transaction and be a benefactor.
No, you can't. You're just not a part of it. And it is up to the party or parties who have, willed this to you. They have contributed this to you. They've bequeathed this to you. You don't know what has been decided until the will is read. The fact that the will is read to you means you're not a part of the will. You are a benefactor of the will. But the will is not between you and somebody else. The will was made by someone else, and it is their will. And like I say, you may be the benefactor in somebody's will, but it's because you were not a part of any of that before is why it's yours. If you were a part of it, they would have had to, if you'd been co-owner or a participant in their wealth in some way or what they had to offer, if you had been a part of it, they would not have been able to will it to anybody. You would have automatically gotten your portion that was yours. It wouldn't be somebody giving it to you. So you see, you cannot be a benefactor and be a part of anything that was bequeathed to you at the same time. You can't play both ends of this puppy. You can't do it.
So many people's lives have been so negatively affected, and in so many ways have been shortened even because of wringing their hands and getting all emotionally herniated over the issue of the will of God. Is this the will of God for my life? Let me tell you something, folks. The will of God is not about you. Yeah. You were a part, or Michael says, a benefactor of the will of God. We find out what the will of God is. The will of God isn't where you're supposed to live or what you're supposed to do with your life or where you're supposed to work or who you're supposed to marry or what shirt you're supposed to wear today. The will of God is not, we have people like Rick Perry and Michelle Bachmann at high levels of the United States politics talking about that God told them to run. This is the will of God that they should run for the presidency of the United States. No, it's not. Sorry, you're insulting the work of Christ. You're insulting the blood that was shed. The will of God is explained, Michael. The will of God is Jesus Christ. If you want to know what the will of God is for your life, it's Jesus Christ, folks. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Absolutely.
All right. Well, listen, we're just getting going here, but we want to get to our next caller, all the way from beautiful North Manchester, Indiana. Please welcome on our senior Hoosier correspondent, the one and only, the legendary, the great author, Mr. Grant Miller. Grant!
I always get tickled at your introduction. Hey, I'm here, Ben, Mike.
Hey, Grant.
Yeah, howdy. Well,
before we get into this, Grant, Jeff Robertson reminds us that we are beneficiaries, not benefactors. That is true, Jeff.
Oh, thank you. It was like that's wrong, but I can't get it right.
Right, so, right. Jeff, well, right. And see, Jeff, that's why he's the Secretary of Defense. Because he makes sure that we have all the ammunition we need. Yeah, we're beneficiaries. The benefactor is the one that gives. God was our benefactor. And
we make sure we Sean Dibobo right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, Grant, are you still driving back from your meeting?
Actually, we've got really good reception here in an Arby's parking lot, and I wanted to just stop here with my wife, Darla, and just talk. So we're just sitting here. We're waiting on just taking this in for right now. So,
but did you get like a ham and cheese or something in Arby's at least?
No, that's roast beef, but that's coming after we're done here.
Oh,
so.
You got a roast beef coming. All right, well, for those of you guys that have listened to the webcast for the last couple of months, you know that Grant was in a very bad motorcycle accident, lost half of his right leg, and you went to a meeting tonight for people that are amputees, correct?
That's right. Yep.
Was this the first meeting that you've been at like that?
Yeah, it was, and it's not just a support group, sit around and talk sort of thing. It's a training and teaching people how to walk with their prosthetics. That's the
wonderful
purpose of the meeting.
And how was it?
It was very encouraging. I met several people who have situations like mine and come across a lot of people who is totally dissimilar situations, but it's easy to think that, well, you've got unique problems that are going to be hard to overcome and this and that, and then you go there and you talk to the owner of a company that makes prosthetics, and he looks at it and he's like, oh, this is great. Nope, no problem, Grant. We can work with this, and you find out they do this all the time. So
yeah.
It was encouraging.
Do you need a leg? You don't know that somebody's in the business of making legs, do you?
That's right. I was never looking for anybody like him, but now he's my friend.
That's awesome.
I bet, yeah.
Well, Grant, you are very encouraging to us in so many ways. And as you guys know, that Grant is an author and has written a book, but comes out with these articles every so often. And you came out with one the other day, Grant. That was entitled Morals Are Useless. And if you guys want a copy of the entire article, just email us at freedom@gospelrevolution.com. We'll be happy to email the entire article to you. Just send it to freedom@gospelrevolution.com, and we'll get you the entire article. But in a nutshell, Grant, please tell the beautiful humans what you felt about that and why you wrote that article.
Well, you were kind of talking about it a little bit ago about the will of God, and when you try to search out the will of God, you think you know what it is, and that becomes a bit of a law to you. And morals, to me, are about the same way. They're just, it's another way to name law. We adopt these morals from pastors and teachers and parents and whatever, and they are guidelines that you don't cross these lines, and if you do, you feel guilty about them. There are certain things we just won't allow ourselves to do because we have morals or principles. And I just love the idea that far higher and much greater than any type of morality is the life and righteousness of the life of Christ that we are. We are his life. We are his righteousness. It's not like something we just have, but we are the very righteousness of God in Christ. And that righteousness is far superior, and we can just rest in that and make decisions however we want to make them in specific situations. In the moment, we can just live to whatever makes sense to us in the moment. Well, don't have these morals that give us guidance and direction.
Well, I hear people across the planet right now saying, what in the world is this guy talking about? Michael, when we were in Christianity, to hear somebody say something like that, we would respond, then what you're going to end up with is complete and utter chaos.
Which was exactly the same response to you're freed from the law. Isn't it interesting that the very same response that when I used to tell just people that it's grace and it's not law, well, you're just saying you can go out and do anything you want, and people won't even know what to do. It's just amazing the way that religion makes your mind feel like your heart is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart is not stupid.
Right.
Your heart has been imputed with wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It doesn't mean that you're going to make all of the decisions that you make are going to be beneficial to you. But I tell you what, if you truly follow your heart, it will be beneficial to you and to everybody in your life. Now, the thing of it is they and even you may not be able to see it at the moment. But here's the thing. We've got to come to grips with the value of following your heart, not making the right decision. We've lost that. We have lost that completely. And the only way and I really encourage people to read this article that Grant wrote. It's fantastic. And provoked me into some more thought in that area that I had been contemplating myself. But this whole area of morals, you just cannot have morals as your compass through life. You know, everybody says, well, you got to have, if he has lost all moral compass. You know, well, no, maybe that's just his morals. We've just got to get out of this business of judging each other, which thank God we are in the greater part of that have forsaken that and left it behind. But this, with Grant dealing with this very specific issue about morals, you see, there is nothing spiritual about morals, good ones or bad ones. And when you make good and or bad morals the source of your spiritual identity, you're completely under the law. You can say I'm free from the law all you want to, but that's what the law is. It's when you set down a certain creed of things you can and cannot do without feeling guilty in your heart and your life for what you've done. The most powerful thing that you'll ever do to be able to move forward in life is to not feel guilty about what you do. And I remember when this very first started dawning on me, guys, and it was a very powerful thing, and Chris Zumbalin will not mind me sharing this with you at all. This was 17 years ago, and Chris was absolutely consumed with guilt as a Catholic boy about masturbation. And so we had this really long talk, and he just poured his heart out. I mean, this was a source of absolute agony for him. And at the time, Chris was 25 years old and a single guy, and he was in agony because of this issue. And I never will forget telling him, Chris, you've got to stop trying to stop masturbating so that you won't feel guilty. You've got to stop feeling guilty about masturbating. And I mean, he was visibly shaken. It was like the turnaround that he had to go through in his mind to view this the other way around. You're not trying to get rid of what you perceive the problem to be. Your number one culprit here is feeling guilty about what you're doing.
Right.
That way you have absolutely no, you have no say-so. Let me make this very clear. You have no say-so over the things you feel guilty about. You are doomed to repeat them over and over and over again. If you're going to have anything called self-control about any issue in your life, it is going to have to be a guilt-free decision, or it will not be a decision and a process that lasts in your life.
You know, one of the things that people always accuse us of when they when we say that the law of God is no more, they always say, they always go to this one. So you could just do anything you want to do. You could then you just go out and kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always respond to that, fellas, by saying, do you want to kill someone? Now,
yeah.
We've been doing this gospel revolution. Mike's been doing it for near about a quarter century. Many of us have been with it for well over a decade. To my knowledge, we've been doing this webcast for over 6 years. To my knowledge, nobody that has embraced the gospel and has come down this gospel revolution road with us, if you will, has ever killed anybody, has ever even committed suicide that I know of. In fact, one night, Grant, you may have heard us talk about this before. We had a gentleman from California call in, and he was thinking about killing himself. I'll never forget that night. And he had suicide run in his family throughout the generations. And he thought that it was part of God's plan, potentially, for him to kill himself. That this was just kind of part of the family tradition. And I got to tell you, when you're confronted with something like that, it really puts what you actually think to the test. And at the end of the conversation, we had him on for about a half an hour or more. And his name was Robert, is Robert. And at the end, Michael, we just told Robert, you know, and he said, I know that God is, I'll go to heaven. I know that God will not be upset with me. And we had to tell him, Robert, follow your heart. Just like we do on every issue. And you know what? He called us a couple weeks later and he said, you know, I just decided from my heart that I know the guy wouldn't be upset with me. It's not about me. He said, but you know, I'm going to hang around for my kids.
Yeah.
That's
see,
what he decided.
Put it back into a rational frame of mind. And all we did is help him hold to that which produces rationality. And you know, you're not making your decisions about what you do, what you don't do, where you go, where you don't go, who you marry, who you're with, who you're not with, based on a moral call. You follow your heart.
We have,
and it's the most powerful thing in the world.
We have reams of historical and modern day examples of people that are involved in very serious Christian churches who kill their children. We have had Christian history of mass murder. And yet, now it's possible, obviously, that somebody that's understood the gospel and embraced the gospel has killed themselves or has killed somebody else. We just don't know about it. Now, but we do know, without a shadow of doubt, that people that were very serious and sincere Christians have ended up killing people. We've got an example here. We're going to be talking about it after the break, about a guy who was sentenced to prison right here in Brandon. And it talks about guilt. He's going away for 30 years for something that he thought and saw. But we'll be talking about that as we continue. Grant, what else you got for us tonight? Anything?
Well, I think that's all that was on my mind. I just heard somebody... I was talking with this person, this Christian, and they made the comment, oh, they couldn't do so-and-so, it's against their morals. And when I heard that, it just got me started thinking. I took it from there. It just frustrated me, and I guess that article was a product of it.
Well, it is.
That's awesome.
I love the truth. I love the gospel, the sacrifice, and the shed blood, and resurrection of the work of the cross, and that's what I just want to defend that, I guess.
Yeah, it was all to free us, not put us in bondage to religion, isn't that right?
That's right.
All right, well thanks for pulling over at the Arby's there up there in Indiana, eh?
Yeah, it's been
Enjoy your beef and cheddar.
Right, thank you.
Give our love to Darla, too.
Okay.
Give me one.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Darla. Thanks.
Hi, Darla.
How are you?
Hi.
Bye.
Good.
Excellent. We appreciate you driving and pulling to the side of the road.
Yep. All right.
All right, Grant.
Bye-bye.
I love you guys.
Love you, too, man. Thanks for calling. All right,
yeah, they're ready for the beef and cheddar.
Yeah, I am too.
Me too.
This is the Gospel Revolution webcast. We are going to take our break. That line is now available for you. We want to hear from you tonight at 800-436-3260. 800-436-3260 is the toll-free number in North America. All over the world you can call us too. If you're listening and it's 20 minutes till 10 on the east coast of the U.S. of A, you can call us at 813-425-5773. When we come back, we're going to actually get a report from our roving reporter, Sean O'Halloran, has got a story to tell us. We're going to talk about this guidance counselor here in Brandon that was just sentenced for 30 years and much more when we return right here on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
In the beginning, God said, "Let us make man in our own image, male and female, and call them Adam." And it was good. In the fall, the image of God was corrupted, but not forever.
When God created man in his own image, and we're not talking about somebody else creating an image, we're talking about God himself creating man in his own image. And then the fall of man, God knew he would have to destroy his own image. Let me tell you something I know now about the new creation, that your heart is designed by God to suffer, endure, and recover from all loss, no matter how horrific the loss is.
The Image of God. This 6 CD series is available for $48 plus shipping and handling, or download it now for $24 by clicking the download link at gospelrevolution.com. The Image of God. Get your copy today.
Thank you, Robert Moore. And I just sent the article, Grant's article, to Jeff and just asked him to post it on the website. So if you guys want to see that, just go to gospelrevolution.com. I'm sure it'll be up by tomorrow. And for those of you guys that are listening on the archive, it probably is already there. So just go to gospelrevolution.com for the downloads. You can download a chapter of Mike's new book that's on there. That book is, it's coming along nicely, I'm happy to report. And we just think it might just kind of sort of change the world. That's all. we have small, vision for it, but, it's good, folks. It's powerful. You're going to be proud of it. And
at least it ain't a vision of hell, is it?
No, it's no vision of hell. That's for sure. And it's not.
I honestly accept the fact I may be living in a grandiose mindset, but I, you know, everybody's just got to deal with it.
Well, let me tell you, I forwarded a couple chapters to Pep Washburn in Wisconsin, and he told me yesterday. He said reading it, he felt like he was floating on air.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, God, it was just beautiful.
Well, our goal is to change to absolutely infect the entire planet with the gospel and see people free. You know, the only difference between the Gospel Revolution and other ventures is identifying the problem. And we think the problem is the people who are trying to to offer the answers. And so it is a great understanding of exposing religion and Christianity, in our case, being the number one culprit, of hijacking the gospel. I tell you, when I think about this, it is just, it so motivates me. Christianity is not an expression of the gospel. They hijacked the gospel.
Yeah.
And and used it then in its distorted form to seduce people into the very thing Jesus died to free us from. It is I'm not going to say anymore.
No,
but I want to change the world. I want to change the world. Glenn wants to change the world. I can tell you that Jeff Robertson wants to change the world. We're in it. We're in it for the long haul. And whatever gets done while we're living and breathing, we will be grateful to be a part of. But that's not going to be the end of the story. We want to get something that is so powerful out there that whether I am living and breathing or anybody else is, that it in of itself will stand alone.
Yeah, and it's really not the people. The people are the vehicle for this stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's what the people, the religious leaders that feed this crap, and that's all that's the nicest thing I can say about it, yeah, to the masses, sure. And people are looking for answers. And they need to look no further than inside themselves.
Yeah,
Mike's
right.
Book is called One, O-N-E, The Gospel According to Mike, A Christianity-Free Gospel. My son Jake, I'm so excited. I got the video chat, you know, I got a little camera yesterday, so I was able to talk to Jake, in California. It was so great. And, he said to me, he goes, Pop, what do you tell people when they ask you what your religion is? He said I was explaining to, some people what we believe. What do we call ourselves? And I just said, Jakey, we call ourselves human beings. That's what we are. We are redeemed, being saved, human beings. Everybody wants a title. Everybody wants an identity. Everybody wants to pigeonhole everybody else. What are you? We are one, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we are. Sean was out in the field as our roving reporter yesterday, and he had a gospel encounter. And so now please welcome online the producer and engineer and call screener extraordinaire, ladies and gentlemen. You know him, you love him. We could not do this without him. Please welcome online Mr. Sean O'Halloran. Sean?
Yes.
How are you, my brother?
I'm pretty good.
Very, very excited. You and Mikey are going to get to meet each other next week.
Yeah, we've, 3 years now I've been doing this.
Yeah, you've been working together for 3 years and you've never even seen each other in person.
Yeah.
I don't think you've ever seen each other by video conferencing even.
No.
Well, you're going to get to hug each other. I can't wait to see that. Next Friday, a week from Friday. Very exciting.
There is a hug pending.
All right, so what happened to you yesterday?
I was on my way home, and I needed to stop at a just grab something real quick from the store. So I stopped at a CVS. I don't know if they're everywhere, but CVS, Walgreens, it's all the same thing. It's just a pharmacy little store. Went in, got what I needed. Went up to the cashier. Nobody else was around, so we were just chit chatting a little bit because I had asked her a question on the way in, so that kind of broke the ice, and we were talking a little bit. She looked about 20 to me. I'm not real sure how old she was. And this song came on, and she said something like, oh, I don't like this song. And I was like, what's wrong with the song? And she said, oh, it just reminds me of my church. And I said, well, what's wrong with your church? And she said, they just recently kicked me out. And I was, teasing her. I was like, what did you do? And she said, well, they found out I was gay, so they kicked me out. And then I was like, oh, man, that's horrible that there's just, there's no love there. But she said, yeah. And then they proceeded. It was a, she said it was a Pentecostal church, and I don't really know much about the different types of churches, but she said they proceeded to call every other Pentecostal church in the whole entire area and give her name and basically just blackball her so she couldn't go to any other Pentecostal church anywhere around.
That wasn't very nice.
So I said, I was lamenting with her. I think that's the right word.
If it's not, Jeff will correct us, so don't worry about it.
Jeff will call.
And I was just saying, how that's, it's ridiculous, and that's not, that's not very godlike. And I said, well, I don't know if you're into the church for the community just because you like being around the people, or if you're spiritual and, you're in it for that, but I basically, you know, I gave her the website, the Gospel Revolution website, and I said, go to this website and give it a look, and there's a once a week webcast that you should listen to, and give it a listen to at least once and see, you know, see if it sounds like it's something for you. And I said, you know, it doesn't have the physical community so much like a church does. A lot of people like that part, but it does have the it'll get you taken care of spiritually, definitely.
That's awesome. That's a great thing to be able to say, Michael. Is this? I mean, that's a gut wrenching story. And I mean, no doubt it's true. No doubt.
Oh yeah.
And but to be able to say, here, just go to gospelrevolution.com. Just check this out. And that's such a good thing.
I'm very
grateful.
Yes, Sean, thank you. I'm very grateful that they called all the other Pentecostal churches to avert any temptation she had of going to another frickin' Pentecostal church.
Good point, Mikey.
So, you know, they did a good job.
They did her a favor.
They did her a huge favor. Oh, my goodness. Oh, she has one thing to be thankful to them for, and that's calling all of the other Pentecostal churches and telling them to not let her in the doors. Thank you, Jesus.
You had, and if you are listening, honey, you just know that you are part of a community. It's a worldwide community.
You sure are,
people
sweetheart.
That know that, and it, as you read the information and listen, you need to know that you are perfect and righteous and holy, sinless in the eyes of God. And there is no sexuality that God condemns. God even loves straight people, Michael.
You know, as difficult as it might be, he really does.
So, all right, I'm blown away, but we just got an incredible email. You had an encounter with another young person this week, another religious young person, Michael. This one, not a Pentecostal, but a Jehovah's Witness, and you turned him on to some Cape Benham music. And why don't you tell us a little bit about Abel's story?
Oh my, it's just a wonderful young man. He's already pursuing his own spirituality, and again, just like with Ray Harris, it was what he was rejecting that was giving him some, you know, a little bit to cope with in life. It wasn't the fact that he accepted it; was that he reasoned his way through some of the condemning doctrines of his parents' church. And I shared with him just a little bit, but he's very, very much. His name is Abel, A-Y-B-L-E. And Abel very much relates to music, and we had listened to a ton of music, and just based on our conversation, I said, you've talked yourself into a song. You've got to hear this. And I played it, and oh my gosh, this young man was moved so powerfully by Kate's words, and especially it being in the form of song, and it's just been amazing. I've been in contact with him since then, and in fact, I got a text from him just before the webcast, and he told me that he was going to be listening. So Abel, if you are, we're glad that you're here and you're safe, you're at home. And when he sent me the text, he told me that there was just no words to express what had happened to him in the time that we had together, and the talk that we had, and the music he heard, and he just fell in love with Kate and can't wait to meet her when she gets here. So yeah, it's, you know, these people are out there by the billions.
Yes.
And
by the billion.
My goal is to reach my billion.
Yeah.
And we'll leave that billion. We'll leave them to reach the rest of the other billions. But I want to reach a billion people with the gospel, and with situations like this, folks. When you see this and you see somebody's heart fixed, it just gets fixed almost instantaneously. and there's a safe place to stand. They don't understand everything, as I don't understand everything.
Right.
But the amazing thing is that what this gave Abel was a safe place to stand. He has a lot of things that he's come to conclusions with, and they're beautiful things. I don't know that he'll ever agree with everything that I think about the gospel, but the awesome thing about it is that this young man thinks for himself. It saved his life. I'm telling you, it saved his life that he actually just thinks for himself, and I really applaud that.
Well, the gospel, according to Mike, saved my life. I can tell you that. We got this email from Jeremy Southern. He says, hi, Mike. This ties in beautifully with Gurma's call earlier and his question. He said, first of all, I want to say that I am absolutely amazed at some of the doctrine you are teaching. Although I have many unanswered questions, you have opened my eyes to a whole new world. Much of it is resonating in my spirit, and it is one of the first times in my life I have felt any real peace in my soul. In 2001, after watching a John Hagee program called The Seven Wonders of Hell, I nearly had a nervous breakdown because I thought I may have committed the unpardonable sin and was on my way to eternal torment. It was a bad time in my life, as you can imagine. Some of those negative feelings still try to torment me from time to time, but these are just residual thoughts floating around from my past. I actually came to believe in the redemption of all mankind back in 2004, and I haven't looked back since. At any rate, I feel like a serious weight is being lifted from my shoulders. For that, I thank you, Michael. The main reason why I'm writing to you now is because I was listening to your June 15th webcast entitled, If We Believed, Jesus Would Not Have Had to Die. That's a great title. You were discussing your experiences with Kenneth Copeland and a couple of directors back in the early 1980s. One of those directors you knew by name, which was Mr. Ambergy, he said, did I spell that right, from Iowa. The other
yes.
name slipped your memory, but you said that he was a Canadian gentleman. Was his
yes.
name Archie Southern? Was his name Archie Southern?
It's possible. I just don't remember. I know he had a lot of money.
All right, Jeremy. Well, if your dad had a lot of money, if it was, he says, that was my father. He was the
Oh, my gosh.
He was the international director for Kenneth Copeland Ministry. Yeah, well, if he's an international director, he must have had a lot of money for
yeah.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries during the 1980s and the early part of the 90s, and worked out of Fort Worth for a few years and also from Vancouver for several years as well, which is where they still reside, myself included. At any rate, I'm very interested to know whether or not that was my father you were speaking of. Love the webcast. Keep up the good work. Blessings, Jeremy Southern.
Well, let me say this. If it was, Jeremy's mother was there in this meeting, and she was the one traversing the green room of Hagen, Kenneth Hagen's green room, after I had taught, and I'd taught several sessions, and she just kept doing laps around the whole room. It's a very large room, actually.
Kenneth Hagen or Kenneth Copeland?
No, this is Kenneth Hagen. I was speaking at Rhema Bible Training Center. And she was doing laps and with her hands up in the air. My God, oh my God, I knew something was missing. Something was missing. Something was missing. And I believe that was the Canadian wife of this gentleman. I could have my story wrong as to who that actually was. But, no, it was very powerful. And all I was doing was sharing the difference between law and grace. And people who had been in the Word of Faith movement were coming up for air out from the depths of this horrible doctrine of measuring even your confession and measuring your thoughts, measuring everything, and to determine what was going to happen in your life spiritually based on your confession. And it's a horrid doctrine. It's an absolutely horrid doctrine. And every one of it is a verse taken out of context from here and there and yon. And it is woven together with strings of deception that are just unspeakable. And you know, and my congratulations to Jeremy for escaping, if he was ever in that, and for the freedom that you found. And Jeremy, you're so welcome. I appreciate your thanks. I honestly, though, can't help myself. And I went many, many years without a single thanks at all. In fact, it was nothing but insults and threats. I had threats on my life. And those wouldn't stop me. But, boy, I tell you what, it sure feels good to hear a thank you rather than a threat. And what a beautiful letter. We're so glad you found peace in your heart. And I can assure you that in the gospel, that peace is going to grow and flourish. Doesn't mean life. I cannot tell you what's going to happen in your life. I can tell you there's going to be bad and good. There's going to be heartache and there's going to be joy. But there is something that to give you stability and maintain peace throughout. And no matter what happens to your heart, even if your heart gets severely broken, it is designed by God through the power of the gospel to endure and to suffer, endure, and recover completely from any loss.
And at 10 o'clock, I just have to say amen. I didn't even get to my counselor story here. The guidance counselor is going away for 30 years. Or my story on Sharia law being used in a United States court. Or the letters. You know what? It's amazing that you would have gotten death threats and been kicked out of so-called places of worship, houses of worship, for telling people that they were loved by God unconditionally.
Yeah.
There you have it, folks. But you were doing something important at that time, Michael. And we believe we're still doing something important. It's not about us, far from it, but it is about, allowing people like Jeremy Southern, to find peace in their soul. What a good thing to have in your soul, that place where your emotions and your intellect and your memories reside, that you would actually have a sense of peace. What a good thing to be involved in. What a good thing you are involved in, folks. And we actually have a couple of very critical letters that were sent this week to us that we wanted to get to. But that will have to wait for another time, because this is not a moral thing I'm doing. I'm doing it out of a sense of respect for your time. And so we're just gonna call it a night right there. But holy mackerel, man! This is the problem. We could do this every night for 3 hours a night every night. You guys think that you can talk about sports all day? There are radio stations that are dedicated to nothing but talking about sports. You think there's shows that have, or stations that have nothing but politics, stations that have nothing but business news. We've got news, folks. We've got very, very good news. The gospel is infinite. You can never exhaust the ways to think and approach and discuss the gospel. I think today, Michael, you and I probably talked for an hour. We talked two different times today. What do we talked about the gospel. Here we are talking about the gospel.
All the way through.
It's a very, very simple gospel. God chose to pour out his judgment on himself in the form of the prophesied Messiah. This was the plan from minute go in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis. And it was recorded in the scriptures, and it was performed. This play was just manipulated and articulated in the scriptures through a nation called Israel and the other nations that were involved in Israel and in individuals. And then God, Michael, he fulfilled the whole thing in Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago now. And now it is finished. The whole, you talk about the economy of God. The economy of God changed. It went from a complete dictatorship to one of complete freedom.
Yeah.
It was for freedom that Christ set you free, folks. You are free. You say free to do what? Free to do whatever you want to do, whatever is in your heart, to actually grow and mature find joy and resonance in your heart about living and life. And, oh, God, I'll tell you something. I am more excited about the gospel on this. I've been around for a while, Mikey.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about the gospel for a few years.
Yep.
For a little bit. And I am more excited about it now than I have ever been in my entire life. I'm even more excited about it than baseball, I gotta say.
Me too.
All right, buddy. We love you. And let's hear from you this week, you guys, at Webcast at Gospel Revolution. That's the address for the radio show. You can contact Gospel Revolution all week long at the email address freedom@gospelrevolution.com. The webpage, of course, is gospelrevolution.com. The phone number of the office is at the right of the top for information about anything, about having Mike come and talk to a group, and even a small group at your home. Information about the summit 1 week from Friday. There's still time to get involved with that. Call the office, talk to Jeff, and he's available. I mean, it's just, as we were talking about earlier, like Sean said, it is a community, Michael. There's no doubt about it. We don't see each other very often, but we have an opportunity to see as many of the family as possible on November 4th and 5th, right here in Tampa Bay, the Bay of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Thank you, and thank you, Glenn, so much, and Jeff and Sean and everyone, Robert, that puts such effort into this really amazing hour program, and that, you know, some people are really convinced that you know, our goal is very real, and we can't be deterred from it, and it's in here for the long haul. And I appreciate everybody who does anything to help us to get this incredible understanding out to people's hearts and minds, so they can make up their own mind. At least we can get them out of the religion so they can think for themselves.
That's exactly right. Well, also thank Gurma Colston for calling in. Grant Miller and Darla for pulling over somewhere, probably off of I-65 somewhere in Indiana at the Arby's to call us tonight. Jeff Robertson, the administrator of the Gospel Revolution. Again, Sean O'Halloran, the producer of this here radio program. Thank you guys for listening. Let us hear from you this week, and we will do it in 1 week's time when we come to you again right here on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Also want to thank Carla for the incredible meal and that I had. It was a great pre-show time over at Osprey Lake. And now I get to go home to some tea and honey. Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!